You're listening to the Blissful Bites Podcast, episode 154.
Welcome to Blissful Bites, a food entrepreneur podcast. Each week, we bring you a successful woman, inspiring message, or business tip to help you build a sustainable business you're proud of. Now, your host, Nicole Culver.
Blissful Bites podcast. You all know I'm a huge fan of ConvertKit. So this episode is kind of about ConvertKit, but kind of mostly about a ConvertKit certified expert, Elizabeth Goddard. I have seen her a lot in the Facebook community from ConvertKit, the ConvertKit family. It's a very tight group of people, and the founders of ConvertKit are very active. And that's kind of what really got me on board with ConvertKit and really caused me to fall in love with the service because the founders are so involved. But then also another perk is Elizabeth is in there, and she's a ConvertKit certified expert. She kind of created this little certification for herself by putting it out there to the founders. And she goes through and not only shares tips on how to use ConvertKit, but also just general email tips, but also shares how she started her path as a blogger and then a VA and then a ConvertKit certified expert. So don't feel like this episode is all about ConvertKit. It's really about so much more. And I think you'll be inspired about how she has gone from someone who wasn't able to work because she had a chronic illness to a really successful ConvertKit expert and really seen as an expert in the niche. So I think you'll really enjoy this interview, and be sure to reach out to me and reach out to Elizabeth when you listen to the episode. So let's get right to it. Elizabeth specializes in strategy and delivery of content for awesome online businesses, focusing on the user experience so her clients get better engagement, sales, and results. You probably didn't start your business to stay on top of or be elbow deep in tech and systems, but Elizabeth did. In June 2016, she was invited to become one of the first four ConvertKit certified experts. She offers a range of ConvertKit services and ongoing virtual assistant support. She also runs ConvertKit Club, a monthly membership site for taking your email marketing to the next level through ConvertKit. Hey, Elizabeth.
Hello.
Thanks for being here today. I'm so excited to chat with you.
I'm excited too.
So tell us a little bit about you and what you do.
Yeah, so I am a ConvertKit certified expert. I'm sort of a virtual assistant, but I don't do much regular virtual assistant work anymore because honestly, I'm so busy with ConvertKit work these days. But I just love everything tech and marketing for online businesses. And that's what I spend my days doing, basically, for other online businesses. And slightly neglecting mine, but I know a lot about my clients' businesses.
Isn't that kind of, I feel like that's what happened. That's a sign of a successful business if you're slightly neglecting yours, I think.
Yes, I think so. Sometimes I'm jealous of people who have like their own businesses and they don't work with clients in the way I do. But then other days I love the fact that my brain is full of about 20 different businesses at one time. And I'll wake up in the morning and be like, oh my gosh, I need to email so-and-so. I've just had a great idea for them. So
yeah.
I really enjoy the variety of what I do for sure.
How did you get to be a certified ConvertKit expert? And I didn't realize it was only in June 2016 because I'm not super active in the ConvertKit group, but I kind of check in on it. And you are like the go-to person in that group.
I stumbled across my niche, I think is the easiest way to say it. So my story to becoming a ConvertKit certified expert is kind of long-winded. It includes how I became a VA a little bit, and I think it's a good story, so I'm happy to go into that as well.
Yeah, I would love that. Like.
So in 2013, I have still chronic fatigue syndrome, and I had also fibromyalgia, chronic pain, and I was too ill to work. I was living on disability benefits and kind of just mooching through life. I had no idea what I was going to do because I was ill and couldn't really do much. I dropped out of my master's degree and I was just sort of hanging out. And my friend introduced me to the world of lifestyle design, which led me to the world of online business. And here are all these people working from home, traveling and running fun businesses from their laptops. So after a couple of months of hanging out in this world, I started a business called The Pillow Fort, which is a shop, digital magazine, community, blog, whatever else I feel like making for young people with chronic illness, with the aim of making it suck less, chronic illness suck less through positivity and fun. And I was able to actually make a difference in people's lives, people who were just like me, youngish with chronic illness, and make a little bit of money for the first time. And then in 2014, my health improved quite a lot. And I had the crazy idea that I wanted to train as a maths teacher, like a full-time intense maths teacher. And I got accepted onto a course that started in September 2015. So I had 6 months to kill. Looked at my skill set, had already figured out a lot of the skills for running an online business for The Pillow Fort. And I decided I was going to offer my services as a VA for 6 months. And I made it very clear on my website, you can only have me for 6 months and then I'm off to be a maths teacher, I'm out of here. And within about 2 weeks of announcing that I was going to be a VA, I just couldn't for the life of me remember why I wanted to be a teacher anymore. I was getting paid now to do exactly what I did before, which was faff about on the internet all day long. So within about 2 months of being a temporary VA, I was making more than enough money to live on. I doubled my rates. I was hovering around fully booked. And it was pretty clear that this was something I was pretty good at. So I told the universe, which is how I work, that if it could let me know by August, if I should be a VA or a maths teacher, that would be great. Like, no rush. You've got until August. You just let me know when you're meant to let me know what I'm meant to do. And as soon as I put that out there to the universe, almost immediately, everything started going wrong with the teaching. I had to do this preliminary course. It was the worst thing I've ever done. And it was awful. And everything just got better and better with my VA business. So I never took up my place on the teacher training course. And that was it. I was a full-time, accidentally permanent VA. Whereas most people, I feel, start as VA and that's what they're going to do. And then quite quickly realize they actually want to do something else. I was the other way around. And then in late 2015, so I've been doing it for about 9 months, I got into Optimize Press, which is a sales page, landing page, membership site, plugin, all singing, all dancing plugin for WordPress. And that was my first little bit of experience. Creating packages and not working on an hourly rate for clients. And then in early February 2016, I migrated the Pillow Fort list from MailChimp to ConvertKit. So under a year ago, I joined up with ConvertKit. And about 2 months after that, I set up a ConvertKit specific services page on my website to help other people who were moving to ConvertKit. And I was actually the very first person, I think, in the world to set up a specific ConvertKit services page. And I continue to do very well in Google because of that. And that day, I also emailed ConvertKit to ask them if they had any plans for a certification, consultant, expert, whatever program. And they replied back, no, we don't have any plans to do that. And I'm like, cool. And then a couple of weeks later, they asked me if I wanted to be a group ambassador or admin in the official ConvertKit Facebook group, as I was always in there already being super helpful. And yes, I wanted to do that. And then about 2 months after that, they invited me to become one of the first 4 ConvertKit certified experts. So from joining ConvertKit to becoming one of the experts was actually about 16 weeks. And it's such a good example of just because it doesn't exist right now doesn't mean it's not ever going to exist and you can't make it exist with a couple of emails. So I like to think I completely manifested this into existence. And unusually, that evening when I first emailed ConvertKit, hey, do you have any plans? I wrote in my diary, and I don't often write in my diary journal, and I wrote, and I can send you the picture of this so you can share it, set up my ConvertKit services page today, also emailed ConvertKit to ask if they're planning a certified partner consultant scheme. I'd love for something epic to come out of this somehow. I want to be the go-to VA for ConvertKit and Optimize Press. I'm thinking some collaboration so good I can't even imagine it. Thanks, universe. And I just put it out there, and then about two, three months later after I read that, it came true. So I'm pretty pleased with my manifesting skills there. But yeah, like I said, that's that's what you can do when you want to make something happen. Just because it doesn't exist isn't a reason that it can't happen.
Yeah, I love how you said that just because it doesn't exist now doesn't mean that it won't exist. And I bet that if you can go back to when you had to drop out of your master's degree, that you probably weren't feeling so great at that time. And
no.
You could have just sat there and not done anything. But instead, look at what you've done in a short amount of time.
Yeah, in 2 and a bit years, I have gone from disability benefits to making more money than most of my friends and living a really quite freedom lifestyle, and it suits my health. I can work when I need to work, not work when I don't need to work. And yeah, I'm really proud of what I've created over the last couple of years, for sure.
And I also just want to say, like, your first website, The Pillow Fort, for to help people with chronic illnesses,
yes,
suck less. I just also really want to touch on that, because I get a lot of people who come to me who are so afraid of starting because they don't know where it's going to go. And I just love that you did this, and it's not what you're doing right now, but it helped you get there. And it was like a stepping stone.
It took me months. Like, I did courses, I researched, I spent months preparing to create The Pillow Fort. And eventually I just wrote a list of things that I had to do by the time I launched it, and things that I would like to do and things that could wait. And as soon, I just worked through the have to do list. As soon as they were done, I hit published and I decided I would figure out the rest later. And that's what I did. I mean, The Pillow Fort still exists. It doesn't get much of my attention anymore, unfortunately, but it was a very, very important part of my, like, entrepreneurial journey to what I'm doing now, for sure.
Yeah, I love that. And I know that this is going to be a question that's popping into everyone's head, that you put out there you were going to be a virtual assistant, you were doing it for 6 months. How did you actually get clients to be a virtual assistant?
So I was... through The Pillow Fort, I was super involved in a lot of online business Facebook groups when it was a time when there were slightly less Facebook groups than there are now. And I had done a lot of courses for online business when I was doing The Pillow Fort. So I had quite a lot of good connections in that sense. Like, I had a lot of online business friends, and they had seen what I'd done with The Pillow Fort. Like, the branding was good. I clearly could do email marketing. I could do all the things, social media, all the things I was saying I could do. So yeah, I just posted in some groups and I put up on my Facebook and I said, I'm doing this for 6 months. Let me know if you're interested. It was a pretty low rate. I think I started at $20 an hour, but that's because I wasn't really doing it for the money. I was doing it to entertain myself for 6 months. That quickly went up. And people saw that and contacted me and be like, oh my gosh, I know someone you'd be perfect for. Or they email me, like, I'm totally going to email you right now. And I was very fortunate and I found clients very quickly, but I've been active already in the places where clients kind of are.
And it also sounds like that you really, 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 number one, you put it out there for the universe, but you also work for it. You contact people, you contact a ConvertKit. So when you want something, you go after it. You don't just put it out there and then sit back and be passive.
Yeah, I think like, I've manifested lots of cool things, but you have to take action. It's not enough to just write it in your journal. Like, they're never going to know that someone out there wants to be certified if I just wrote it in my journal. Like, I just emailed them and that took me, what, like 10 minutes to write an email that's just like, hey, do you have any plans? And they're just like, no, we don't. But that still set it all in motion. So there has to be action with the intention. Otherwise, you're not going to get what you want. But it doesn't have to be a huge amount of action. And that's what I keep sort of telling people, like, a little email here or there actually can set the wheels in motion far more than you think. You have to create this whole thing out for them or for yourself, you know?
Yeah, and you kind of planted the seed, because they did say no at first and then they came back to you.
Yeah, I'm always joking with them that I created it. It was all my vision.
So I would love to know now, I talk a lot about ConvertKit on the podcast because I use it. I'm a huge fan. It's really helped my business. But I would love to hear for you why you love ConvertKit.
So I got to the point with my, I was with MailChimp before, and I got to the point where I had quite a lot of different opt-ins for the Pillowfort, and I was up to, eight, nine lists, and they all had different autoresponders attached, and I was always having to try and move people between the lists based on which opt-in they came in. And it was just, and I was paying for everyone on every list, and it was all just getting a bit messy. And it came, I had a friend who really, really recommended ConvertKit, like quite an early adopter to it. And it came at a time when I was thinking about quite seriously about leveling up in my business, certainly for the Pillowfort and also VA. And it just felt like if I start with ConvertKit, then that's going to allow a fresh start for my email marketing. And the extra benefits of ConvertKit, like the fact that you can make a form so easily and just plop it on your website and it looks nice. Like if you've tried to do that in MailChimp, it just looks ugly. I don't know what it is, but oh my gosh, me and naked forms. I love naked forms in ConvertKit. The deliverability of emails is really good. Like they don't go to promo anywhere near as often. The forms are easy. It's so good for things like content upgrades, and then you can just funnel them straight into a welcome sequence. I really like the option in ConvertKit of single or double opt-in. Sometimes it's not really appropriate to have a double opt-in if they've like signed up for a course or whatever. You don't want them then to be confirming that they want to hear about the course that they've just bought. I really like the automation rules. So before I was with ConvertKit, I had a play with Zapier, which gets different things on the internet to talk to each other. And I really like that if this happens, then do that. Like that really appealed to my brain. And I know there are other email service providers out there that are much more visual, but personally, I actually really like the linear nature of ConvertKit. It's got cool features that people often forget about, such as resend it to unopens. Like that feature can almost double your open rates on any email. If you've written the email and you've sent it out and 25% of your list have opened it, and then you resend it to the other 75%, then another 25% of them will open it and you'll be up to nearly 50%. And so forth. What else do I like about ConvertKit? You can do full hosted landing pages. There are four templates and they're not super customizable. They're a little bit restrictive, but for people who just want to get going quickly, maybe if they don't even have a website yet, you can still start building your list in ConvertKit. And I think that's a really powerful feature which allows people to stop all the, I have to have this, I have to have that before they actually start doing it. You can start building your list straight away. And one thing that I really like about ConvertKit, and I've not really found it anywhere else, is the community around it. People who use ConvertKit love ConvertKit. Like, there are very few groups like the ConvertKit family official Facebook group that, like, there's people in there, like me and other people, who just spend all their day answering questions and a super, it's got such a cheerleading fan base around it, and there's not many bits of software like that, and you then feel part of something. And the people who work at ConvertKit are always saying you won't find anyone who loves ConvertKit more than the people who work at ConvertKit. And I don't think there's many bits of software really like that. So, yeah, I really love the community around it as the last thing.
I do too. I do too. And I think that really is what sets them apart. And know you'll go in there and you'll answer a question, or the founders will answer a question, or if you have to email
Definitely.
them, there it's like a real person that's going
It
to get
is.
back to you. And it's the same people that get back to you. So you kind of know them,
You do,
which
you get to know them for sure. My in the Facebook group, one of my favorite like challenges I run with myself is to have the correct answer in the comments by the time when it still says that it was posted just now. Like that's my personal challenge in the group. And I achieve it like most days, usually once most days, I manage to get the answer in there whilst it still says it was posted just now.
that is
That's
really
how
cool.
geeky I am about
I
it.
love that. And who do you think ConvertKit is best for? Because, like I was telling you, I have a lot of beginner people who are on MailChimp. They're not maximizing their email list. They're not even really sure what they're doing with their email list. So, who do you think that it's best for? Do you think anyone shouldn't be using ConvertKit?
I think there are limitations of ConvertKit, and if any of those are deal breakers in your business, then it's probably not the right choice for you right now. But I have worked with so many different types of people who are using ConvertKit successfully. And it's not like, I feel like they do themselves a slight disservice by saying it's for bloggers, because I don't blog really. And it's definitely right for me. So I've worked with authors, I've worked with bloggers, I've worked with coaches, health coaches, life coaches. I've worked with like sex education experts who use ConvertKit. I've worked with people who sell physical products, digital products, courses. I've worked with, what's some weirder ones I've done? Someone who has a business teaching people to be roofers, like construction contractors, multi-level marketing, all sorts of things I've successfully seen people using ConvertKit for. And I feel like some of the language on their page makes people feel like it's not for them. If you don't write blog posts, you can still totally use and benefit from ConvertKit. So I think it's for anyone who has more than one thing going on, is usually what I say. As soon as you've got, so if you've set up a MailChimp list and there's just one list and one opt-in and one thing, then MailChimp's probably all right for that. But as soon as you know you offer a course, or you have a second opt-in offer, or you run a webinar, or any other reason why you'd need to create a second or third list in MailChimp, then I think it's time to start thinking about potentially using ConvertKit. And if people start on ConvertKit, I know it's paid and something like MailChimp is free, but it's additional motivation to get your list making money for you quicker, which I think if you have up to 2,000 people in MailChimp for free, then there's not really a huge amount of motivation to get your list earning you money, which is ultimately what it kind of should be doing.
Yeah, that's a great, I love how you said that. If you have more than one thing going on, more than one list, I feel like that's a really good guide. And that's kind of what I tell people too, but I feel like you have, obviously it's your thing. So you have really figured out how to say that really easily.
Yeah.
Do you have any like secret, well, I know they're not really secret, but anything that you feel like a lot of people don't know about when it comes to ConvertKit's features?
So my top tips, if you're moving to ConvertKit from somewhere else, bring your subscribers across last. I learned this the hard way. The ConvertKit migration person who works at ConvertKit learned this the hard way and shared this bit of advice with me. So if you're moving from somewhere like MailChimp, it feels like an easy win to bring your subscribers across first, but actually you should do it last. So that's my top tip, because otherwise you have to do it again later, because more people have signed up to your MailChimp, hopefully. The resend to unopens feature is super cool, and people often don't use that. So my advice is always resend to unopens, leave it about 48 hours later, make sure you change the subject line, make sure you change any of the text in the email if it's relating to it starting in 2 days' time and it's actually starting today or whatever. What else would I tell people to think about? My personal philosophy on ConvertKit is to keep all the automations on the automation page. Where I differ from ConvertKit here is because ConvertKit say add someone to a sequence from a form in the form settings, but I actually like to keep all my automation rules on the automation page. And so every form I create, I will have an automation rule that says when someone subscribes to form X, then subscribe them to sequence X and add them to tag X, for example. Have I got any other things? There's a cool new feature which people aren't really using yet, which allows you to, once you've sent a broadcast, a one-off email to your list, you can click to see a link of that email that you can then share on your social media and stuff. So a lot of people, it's a newer feature, and it's one that people really missed from places like MailChimp. So say you write an awesome blog post, awesome email, sorry, and you send it out, you can now link to that email from your social media or something, so more people see that content. Yeah, those are probably some little tips, things I like that people don't often use.
I love that. And if you do share it on social media, then is there an easy way from that link for them to get on your email list, or do they then have to like go to your website or something?
They would have to go to your website, but you can create a custom email template, which is not as scary as it sounds. It is a little bit codey, but they're really good at helping you. Like, the guides on ConvertKit are really good. Where you put at the bottom of all emails automatically, forwarded, did you receive this email from a friend forwarding it to you, or are you looking at it somewhere else and want to receive your own emails each week, click here to sign up, and then that takes them directly to a landing page. So if that is a strategy you're going to use and you are going to encourage people to forward or to share it on social media or whatever, then you can put a landing page link, a sign up link, in the bottom of the email template.
Ooh, good tip. That is very good to know. So what would you say in your whole business building of ConvertKit, what do you think is your most favorite thing for you to work on? Or what's your favorite thing you're working on right now?
I've pinned it down recently, and my absolute zone of genius when it comes to ConvertKit is someone saying, I want this to happen, this X scenario to happen, and here's ConvertKit, here are other tools I've got to make it work. How can I make this happen? So I am so good at making ConvertKit do, in an ideal world, what do you want it to do? And then I can make it do that. And so I've got a launch client at the moment who's using ConvertKit, and she is running a 30-day video challenge. And each day she has 30 different circles, so 30 different groups that people are being supported through. And we have emails going out in ConvertKit that have 30 different bits of conditional content. So based on what circle they're in, they see a different bit of content in each email. And it's a beautiful setup, and I'm so proud of it. And I don't think people are using ConvertKit to, many people are using ConvertKit to the extreme lengths I am. Like, I'm constantly testing out what happens if we do this, and would that actually work? And yeah, my favorite thing is when someone asks me a question, how do I get it to do this? And I come up with a way to get it to do it. And then they go, thanks, ConvertKit support weren't able to figure that out. They said it wasn't possible. That's happened about twice now. And I feel like, yes, I'm winning. I don't know what I'm winning, but it makes me really happy when I can figure things out that the people who use ConvertKit all day, well, I also use it all day, I suppose, but it's awesome. Yeah, figuring out things that in an ideal world, what do you want it to do? And then working out a way to do that. And also workarounds, I suppose. Like, if it doesn't have a particular feature, how can we make it kind of act like it has that feature for sure?
Oh, now you have me thinking for my own. Like, what do I need this to do? I'm going to try and come up with a challenge for you to figure out. Well, talk to us a little bit about the things you're working on, because I know you have this really awesome ConvertKit Club membership. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so ConvertKit Club, I was having a really bad day in July last year. I was just tired and grumpy and everything was wrong. And a lot of people were starting to make ConvertKit courses, because obviously ConvertKit is the cool, trendy thing. And I'm not much of a content creator, really. Like, I don't really identify as wanting to create much content. And the problem with a lot of courses is ConvertKit is changing so rapidly because it's growing so fast and they keep hiring new people and new engineers and new features and all of this, that it just didn't seem practical to me to create a course about ConvertKit because it'd need updating all the time. So I was thinking, what would happen if I made a membership site for ConvertKit, and each month we do a really detailed training on something in ConvertKit, and that allows me to support the people in the membership as though I was their VA, but they're talking about their specific business and I can help them. Because a lot of courses are very generic, like, here's a usual scenario that might happen, whereas that's not going to fit everybody's types of business, because as we talked about, loads of different types of businesses might use ConvertKit. So yeah, ConvertKit Club, it's been open since August, I think. There's a full training once a month. So far we've already covered templates, organizing subscribers, tidying up your ConvertKit account now you know better than when you started. What else do we have in there? We've got one on forms and landing pages. And then, so there's a full training each month, and I encourage and support the members to get that bit set up and neat and tidy for their particular business. And there's a Facebook group, so people are asking questions all the time. And I can be like, give me the context of your business, and then I talk them through it. There's a video training library with loads of little quick screencast videos on all sorts of little features. So every time someone's like, how do I do this? And I'm like, well, someone else in the future is going to want to know how to do that. I record a video and I pop it in there. So that's a growing library. It's integrations, all sorts of things. ConvertKit themselves are getting better at creating video tutorials, but people seem to really like mine and it's working for my business. So I make those. What else do you get in there? Sometimes we have challenges. Next month we're having in a guest expert to teach about welcome sequences. She's a copywriter. I offer any members get a 15% discount on any of my one-to-one ConvertKit services. And anything else I feel like making relating to ConvertKit, it just gets popped into ConvertKit Club. And it's a really, because my one-to-one rates keep going up and up, it's a really cost-effective way for people to access my brain and training and thoughts on ConvertKit in a really affordable way. So yeah, that's ConvertKit Club.
Awesome. And you have a free 40-minute training that kind of takes you through ConvertKit?
I do, yes. It's called A Beginner's Guide to ConvertKit. It's a 40-minute free training. You just have to sign up for it. And it takes you through, it walks you through as though it's a brand new ConvertKit account. We go through forms and sequences and tags, a little bit about migrating from somewhere else, automation rules, email templates. At the end of that, you will be good to start using ConvertKit straight away. And it's ridiculous value to offer for free. Like, quite often I see people be like, has anyone got a good course on ConvertKit? And quite a lot of people will post a paid one, and I just post my 40-minute free one, and that's actually the one that ends up helping them. So yeah, that's a free training I have that's ridiculous value, but it helps people, and that's what I want to do.
Awesome. And I'll put the links in the show notes, but then they can also go to ConvertKitClub.com/guide. And the last question, yes, I want to ask you is, what do you see, like, what are the big mistakes you see people making with ConvertKit? And is there one that makes you kind of like roll your eyes and please say, like, please don't do that?
So one thing I see a lot that people don't really know how to fix necessarily, but lots of accounts I log into, they have about 6 or 7 untitled forms on the homepage, on the dashboard, because every time they start playing around with forms and then they never delete them again afterwards. So you can log into the settings and delete any forms that you don't actually need.
Okay,
so
that's me.
A lot of people have a lot of untitled forms on the homepage. What other issues do I see people do a lot? Quite often their automation rules are not particularly consistent. So there are some triggers in ConvertKit that I very rarely use and should only be used in very specific circumstances. So when someone subscribes to a sequence, I would very rarely use as a trigger. I like to have most of my automation rules are when someone subscribes to this form, then do this and then do that. When someone finishes a sequence, then do this, then do that. So I've seen some true monstrosities when it comes to automation rules. And the other thing about automation rules is people don't always realize that you can group them together. So if you have the same actions in a rule, then you can group them together for the triggers. So triggers are if this or this or this happens, and the actions are do this and this and this. So sometimes I'll log into an account and there's loads of one trigger, one action, loads and loads and loads of them, when they can actually be grouped together and made a lot tidier. And if you have any invalid reference red bits in the automation rules, you should go and tidy those up because they drive me crazy too. That's where you have set up an automation rule for a form or a sequence or a tag that no longer exists, and it throws up a red error, but people don't tidy them, and that's annoying. And tags, my top tip for tags is that people just create tags and they show in alphabetical order. And I'm hoping in the future you'll be able to sort them better in ConvertKit, but for now they just show in alphabetical order. So I always recommend that people give each tag a category so that they show grouped by category. So I will have my course colon X, course colon Y. I will have freebie opt-in X, freebie opt-in Y. And then when I look at them, it's just neater because they're in alphabetical order based on the category and then the actual information. Yeah, those are the main things I see that make me want to cry a little bit, but often they don't make me want to cry because I want to sort them out for the person.
Now I'm like taking notes. Now I have to go fix all those things in my ConvertKit. Well, thank you so much for being here today. This was so much fun. So informative.
Good.
So tell everyone where they can find you.
So my main website is at elizabethgoddard.co.uk, and that's where like the hub of all my different things are. If you want to check out the Pillow Fort for young people with chronic illness, that's thepillowfort.co.uk. And I also have convertkitclub.com, which is where I basically keep all my ConvertKit Club stuff and training and things like that. But I live primarily between elizabethgoddard.co.uk and convertkitclub.com. And if you look in both those places, you'll probably see everything I'm doing.
Awesome. And of course, they can find you in the ConvertKit family.
You can indeed. I am always in there trying to get replies before it goes from just now posted.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
You can find all information about Elizabeth and the ConvertKit Club at NicoleCulverblog.com/podcast. You've been listening to the Blissful Bites podcast. If you like this episode, subscribe to the podcast so you can hear more inspiring interviews and a helpful business tip.
This has been Blissful Bites, a food entrepreneur podcast. Thanks for listening.